20s and the flappers.
Oh, yeah, sure, 1920s, yeah.
What was it like?
Well, you know, used to go dancing in here, go to the movies to see, you know, used to be silent movies at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had dates a couple of times, I went out to, with a date to a movie to see, or I used to go ourselves to see the movies and this and that.
What did you think about the flappers?
Well, listen, to each his own. How they want to dance was their business. And I was a good dancer, and I used to lead a lot. I like to lead a lot. When I was younger, you know.
Did you have your hair bobbed?
Not right away, but I had it bobbed later on after I was married. I had long hair. You still, what do you call it, with the electric...
curling
iron? Yeah, I had long hair. In fact, you can see my wedding picture. Yeah. I had short... No, I didn't bob my hair that time. I bobbed my hair after I was married. Yeah. For a while. Then I got permanence and this and that. You know, Marcel Waves, they used to, maybe years ago. Yeah, I used to go to the beauty shop and get it washed and set. You know, Marcel. Thanks.
Did you think the flappers were a bad influence?
No. People never bothered me. I teach his own, whatever they want to do, that was their business. I never told anybody what to do.
Do you remember also in the 1920s was women's suffrage when they had the...
Oh, yes. There was a woman by the name Jane, what was her last name? A woman's suffrage. In fact, my older sister used to take me to a lot of lectures. And I used to love opera. So I used to buy it with her. She used to buy, and she was single yet, too. She got married in 1918. But at the beginning, we used to go to concerts, orchestra hall. And then she used to go to the opera, and I used to buy a season ticket. And I'd go to the opera. A couple of times I cheated my husband. He was single yet. And I used to tell him, if you'd like to go see the opera, you're welcome to it. And I knew one fellow that he wanted me to go with him. Mm-hmm. I did go out with him for about 6 months. And he said, well, he was a ladies' worker too, by a ladies' garment workers. And he says, you know, I like you, this and that. So as I went around, this used to come over to the house and used to buy sometimes candy or break something. And then he decided, he says, I'm going to California, and if you want to come along with me? I said, well, I don't know. I didn't. And he said, well, if you want to marry me now or later, I said, well, you're going to California. So I said to him, might as well go in Jewish gate, he's going to hate, you know. And he came over the house and he brought me some jewelry. So I said, no, I don't want it. And he insisted I should have it, so I left it on the table. And his name was Harry at that time. So I said to him, he's going to California, all right? He said, well, you'll write to me. Yeah, I said, yeah, sure.
Do you know about how old you were at that time?
Well, let's see. I was, when I moved to with my sisters, I was living in the South Side, you know. And my sister, she liked him. He wanted I should marry him. And I said, well, I'm not ready right now, but you're going to California, you'll see. The meantime, I had an I am a husband, because he used to call me up and date me here, you know, on and off here and there. So, one time, that was New Year's Eve, so my husband, his name was David, he called me up, he says, what are you doing? I said, nothing. I said, I had a date, was time I was out, you know, kind of like a masquerade party we used to make. In fact, I made a dress made out of streetcar transfers I was wearing here and there. So then he tells me he's going to California. I says, all right, if you want to go to California, go. But yeah, I'm not going out to California. You wait, I'll let you know. So it happened, my husband called me up, and my sister had a little boy at that time. I think I was about 20. It was in, I think I was about 21 years old. So he said, what are you doing New Year's Eve, you know? I said, I went out, but he said, the next day. I said, well, if you want to come over, all right, you know. So he started to come to over the house, and I said to my sister and my brother-in-law, and my cousin was there, which would be her husband, I said, well, tell you what, you want to come? I'll tell you, I promised my sister I would babysit for her. You want to babysit? Okay. He said, sure, why not, you know. So he came, and that's how we started. Then I received a letter from the other fellow. So I wrote him, I'm sorry, I don't love you, and I don't want to marry you. I said, the best thing, we parted in a nice way. So I wrote him a letter, and that's all I heard from him.
Did you feel pressures from other people that you should be getting married?
Oh, not too many. I never paid any attention for that. Because that was, my mind was far away, clear. Nothing bothered me. I was on my own. I used to buy my own clothes. Later on, as I was making money, I used to buy my own clothes and everything else. And while before we were married, I saved up $500 in the bank and here and there. And I was independent. I was for myself. I used to buy my own clothes, some parts, whatever. I couldn't get it. My sister used to help me. She'd make it for me.
Was it unusual for a woman to be doing these things on her own?
No, my sister, you mean?
No, for any woman, was it unusual?
No. She made most of my clothes. No. And when I was a younger girl, yeah, she used to make it. And then
was it unusual for women to be on their own?
Oh, well, listen, I didn't have too many. The only one was here was my two brothers and my sister. My older brother, Harry, and my next to him was Fanny, and then my other brother and I, when I came same time when I came. And then he worked for the government in the shipyard, so he wouldn't go to be a soldier. Mm-hmm. And so did my husband. He used to work in Detroit, Michigan, and he was working in the shipyard too. So he wouldn't go to the service. You know, we accommodate that way, you know. So that's how it happened. Then I remember one day my husband comes and tells me, he says, look, to my grandmother, that's his grandmother, and to my mother-in-law, and I know she liked me very well. And he says, what do you think, Ma, Gram, you like Maui? Like that, you know. So my grandmother, she was a very nice person. And she said, oh, goodness gracious, Molly's the best girl that I know. And that showed my mother-in-law knew me well because I used to go around with my straw family. So she knew me too. So he went over to them and asked them, do you think that Molly's a nice girl? There was another girl with that baby. And I said, somebody said, oh, goodness gracious, don't miss out. Maui is the best. That was right after, I got engaged in March. The early part of March, I got engaged in 1921, because we waited for my family. And I didn't hear from my family yet at that time, because I didn't know if they were alive or not. But then we found out somehow they got a letter that they were alive. So we decided to continue with our marriage. So I said, it was in March, and if you're dead. So then we waited for my folks. Then we were going to get married in August, 1922. So we didn't get married in August because we wrote them a letter that they were going to come, so we decided we'd continue to August. Then we decided to continue till January, all around. And I, in the meantime, I was working, you know, here and there. For the last few months, and then I told you, I think I quit the jobs because I didn't want to work for less money. I wasn't dependent too, you know, I used to make money. So then my husband said to me, well, look, we got a 3-4 months continue. He said, I'll see that you have spending money and all that. You understand? So he, once in a while, he used to give me a couple of dollars for spending money or so on. I had money in the bank. I told him, I said, I have money. And my sister, when I didn't work, my sister didn't want no money from me. She gave me, you know, whatever I needed. And that's my cousin, but we were together with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you regret that you had to stop working your sewing work when you got married? Would you have rather have?
No, I used to sew. I had a, you know, a pedal machine like that. And I used to sew little things for my children, and as they were born, you know, right along, as little as they were. I only had to, when I moved to River Forest, I only had 2 children. My third one was coming on the way. See, my Marvin was born on May 6th, and then I had Sylvie a year and a half later. In October the 13th, Sylvie was born. Marvin was born in May 1924 or something like that. Then, when I moved to River Forest, I was pregnant with my daughter Shirley. That was my third child, see? And after we went into River Forest, we lived in the back of the store for 3 years. My father, he was still alive. So he made petitions and everything, and we lived there for 3 years, in the back of the store with the 3 children. Then we rented an apartment, and it was 1930, it was, the World Fair was in 33. It wasn't 33, but we moved out of the store in 21 or 22, something like that. No, I mean 31 or 32, I don't remember. And then we got another, we moved into one apartment, we didn't like it because when it was raining, the basement gets overflowed. So we moved out and we moved on Ashland Avenue. And Ashland Avenue near New Washington Boulevard. Right?
Yeah.
So we lived on Ashland Avenue. We moved on Ashland Avenue and I lived there until when my daughter Adrienne was born. I believe on Ashland Avenue. And after that, I took sick. I had to have a year later in 1934. Adrienne was born in 1933, July the 27th, July the 30th. And about 3 months after that, I got a gallbladder attack. So I went to the doctor and he gave me pills. So every time I took pills, I had to take morphine pills.
Morphine?
Yeah. And then I decided, this and that, then I went to the doctor and he said, you should be operated. And here I was helping in the business, you know how it is. So he says, well, take your time and whenever you decide it, he will operate on you. So in the meantime, every time I got an attack, I used to take a pill. And then it go away with the pain till I got the yellow jaundice. And then I had to get to the hospital and get operated. I went to Michael Reed Hospital and Dr. Morris Parker operated on me.
Okay. Can you describe what a typical day was like in your married life?
Well, nothing particular, I guess. We lived very happy all the time. We never argued. We always got along. And we raised our children nicely. And they mind their father, whatever he told them. He'd go every Sunday, speak about in Sunday school. Every time they went to Hebrew school, they would come take the bus and come home.
Did you make any decisions as head of, or was just your husband the head of the house?
No, together. We decided. We always agreed on things. We never argued. We never did anything without one another. Sometimes he'd come and ask me a little question, and I used to say, look, if I'll tell you it's wrong or it's right, you'll do it your own way. Like he even sometimes, and I taught him how to do the man's work right away. And he taught me the ladies' work, because I never worked on ladies' dresses, things like that. I always worked on men's work. So I taught him how to do men's work. So men's work, you know. So I used to show him how to fix the enamel or take your collar off, peel out a suit. So finally, he became a men's tailor too. And I used to understand a little bit about dresses. And that's how I learned the trade to fix dresses, things, because I never worked by dresses as much as I worked by men's clothes when I was single, you know. So, but when my kids were legal, I had my own, you know, hand machine. And I used to sew for them. And then when we moved to River Falls, yeah, when we got the store in River Falls, and then I took my old machine with me. And then we decided we're going to work, you know, up here, and then we got the power machines to work. And my husband was present for a while until we worked up the store. It took us about 2 years to work up the store, see? But we lived back in the store for 3 years. But then I hired a presser to press clothes. And later on, we bought, as we went along years and there, you know, things was progressing. And then we bought a carbon tetrachloride machine, and we did our own cleaning. In time, we bought a house in River Falls in 1943.
Did you help in the store and still maintain the house?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I had help. I had girls working for me. I had a house in the house, you know, girls. When the kids were little, she used to wash them, bathe them, and she used to do the cooking. I taught her how to cook in a Jewish way. Yeah. And here, this way, and she used to cook. Sometimes when I had time, I used to go home and prepare whatever I wanted to. And that's how we got along. And I taught her how to make a filter fish, and I taught her how to take a duck, you stuff it, and this and that, you know. And she knew everything. She was an Italian girl, but she was very nice. She worked for me for a long time.
How did the depression affect your life?
Well, we had a little bit of hard times, you know, at first. You know, when the 1929, when Hoover was president, little by little. But we didn't care. We had a nice business. We worked. Because we lost money in one bank and another bank. We opened up a store in Chicago Avenue. We couldn't make it close, so we closed that up. We had money in the Chicago Avenue and the bank, and that's we closed that up too, but we struggled along pretty good. In other words, we were working together, and I bought a new truck that time. So we paid out, you know, Ford used to be those Model 4 trucks and everything else. And then things got a little bit better when President Roosevelt was reelected in 1932. Then things begin to pick up, then the WPA, whatever you call that, came up, it was much better. Social Security came away, but unemployment came in that time. He put a lot of people to work, you know, street cleaning, whatever they had to do, they did it. Roosevelt was president, and he opened up, when he came in, he closed all the banks and straightened everything out. And then they insured the banks, for each bank was insured for $10,000 at that time, 1930. He came in 1933, when he was inaugurated, it was 1933. Oh, that time we were top, doing okay.
So you never really suffered from the depression?
Oh, yes, a little bit. We did, yes. You know, we had to economize. And don't forget, Adrian was born in 1933. We had the Chicago World's Fair. In fact, the night before I was at the fair, and I came home, and the next Sunday morning, we were supposed to go to a picnic, and I said, I don't think I'll be able to go. So I went to the hospital, and another daughter was born.
You said that no one knew that you were pregnant because you were a corset.
Yes, I wore a corset all the time, and I was a little chubby, you know. I lost weight at first, but then after gallbladder I lost a little bit, and then I gained back. But my Jerry was born in 1937. I was 39 years old.
Did you feel that you had to try and hide the fact that you were born?
No, I never did. Nobody knew it anyway. They find out it was me.
How come you wore the corset then?
I don't know, I was used to it.
It was just something you wanted to do?
Yeah, it kept me going, you know, close like that.
You weren't afraid of it was going
to
hurt?
No, but the doctor knew it. He even said, you're welcome to it. If it helps you, go ahead. He never told me no. He was a good, that doctor was a, like I said, some cousin to my grandmother. My husband's grandmother, and she liked him too, you know, this and that. He was a good doctor, and the same doctor delivered all my five children. Dr. Rudolph, she dressed in peace, he died in 49, I think.
Do you remember when any of your brothers and sisters were born after you?
After me?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, well.
Did your mother have a midwife or something?
Yes, she had midwives all the time. But when I left, I don't remember them all, but I remember some that was born. But I remember my brother Jaime, but I don't remember my brother Jack's recipe. He's passed away. But I remember my brother Jaime, I remember. And after Jaime Jack came, I don't remember Jack. Maybe, you know, my mother has every year and 3 months, every year and a half, she's had a child. She had 12 of us in the family. Besides my father and mother, 12 children she had. But the only thing is, before I went away to America, my mother gave birth to my little sister. And she was born in March. I think it was the end of March, 1913. And I was home, and I went and I got the midwife, and I got she was a Gentile woman, but I got the doctor. Doctor came along.
A doctor and a midwife.
Yeah, it's like a nurse or something. I don't know yet. And the doctor came. And my father says to me, Molly, Bunyamati in Jewish, he says, see that you put all the little ones to sleep and then go and bring the doctor over to the house. Because my mother had all the children at home.
Yes, she did?
Yeah. So then I came, called the doctor, you know, I went and I got him. We didn't have no telephone there at that time. And the doctor came. He said, have you got something to wrap up the baby? You know, in your country they used to have like little diapers, whatever you call it, and then they used to tie them up like this, you know, because they call it in Jewish adiko. You know, you tie them up, so I took I remember like today, I remember I took an old bed sheet and I held it up. When he delivered the baby, I was right in the room with the baby. So he says, "You got the sheet, hold the baby, then I'll take care of your mother." And I didn't step out, I held her in my hand, you know, young girl. So I went and I was holding her, and then he took a thing where you prepare hot water, and he washed up the child, and cleaned it up, and then he picked up, you know, inside the room, and there's some kind of skin, whatever you call. And they used to take it out to the toilet, the outside, you know, we didn't have no inside toilets. So he got rid of that, and he cleaned up my mother and everything. And he said, "Well, your mother has got another girl." I said, fine. She was a 12th child. It was a difference between her and my brother 4 years. So she's a change of life baby, what they call, you know, for you. So I held the baby, and then he took the thing and bathed it up with warm water. By the way, he says, "Prepare hot water," and fixed it up, and I held it in my bed sheet, and then he took the baby, cleaned up, and I took like a diaper, but they used to diaper in difference in your country. They used to put their heads underneath, and then they used to tighten them up like that. And I knew just how to do it. And he says, "Fine, your mother is fine, everything is fine." And that's very nice, she's got a girl. So that was her 12th child. So we had 6 boys and 6 girls between everyone else.
How was the process different? Was there a difference when your mother had children from when you had children?
Oh, of course. When I had my children, I went to the hospital. I had a doctor. I used to go to see him all the time. And then I had deliveries in the hospital or so. Oh, sure. I had Dr. Rudolph. Oh, yes. She was a very nice doctor. In fact, he delivered my sister's children. He delivered my cousin's daughter. And he delivered, in fact, he delivered her children too, yes. He delivered Fanny's 2 children. Anybody that I knew that was going to have a baby, I used to recommend him to Dr. Rulo. He was a very nice doctor. Yeah, very nice doctor. Yeah. So he was fine. He said, "Molly, you're looking good. Okay, don't worry, you're all right."
How often did you used to go to the doctor?
Oh, when I was in pregnancy, I used to go there about once a month. From examination and all that. Yeah, he was very nice. He took good care. In fact, he was very happy when my son Marvin had a bar mitzvah. I invited him. When Marvin was getting married, I invited him too. He came to Marvin's wedding, my older son's wedding, with his wife. I knew him well, yes.
Do you think if there would have been better methods of birth control then that you would have practiced it, you would have not had as many children?
Well, I don't know. You know, I told you once what 3 years ago they used to do, you know. That time there was no pills. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Took care of ourselves, but decent dad.
So, were all your children planned?
No, just my first 2 children wasn't planned, they just came. In fact, none of them were planned. In between, there was a little difference between my daughter Shirley and my daughter Adrian was almost 5 years. She was born in 1933 and Shirley was born in 1928, May. In fact, Shirley's birthday, my older son Marvin, is on the same day, May 6th. So they were 4 years apart. My son Marvin was 4 years old when Shirley was born. See, in between I had Sylvia. And she's the shortest, and she's the oldest, and she doesn't look older than anybody else. You've met her. Last time my daughter Sylvie was here, she's the oldest. She's 2.5 years older than my daughter Shirley, Sissy's mother. Yeah.
You said one time once when your father was living with you and your husband, and you were pregnant, and you said your father slept with your husband. And you slept in the day bed?
Oh, when my folks came, I mean?
Yeah.
Yes, I stayed there a whole month with them. I was married only, I got married in May the 27th, 1933. And they came back August the 5th, 1923. See, we haven't heard from them all this. I think they lost their, they missed a visa boat or something, and we didn't hear from them.
Another time, was your father ever staying at your house?
No. My father was living by himself. After my mother passed away, my father had a home of his own. Mm-hmm. And my sister's son stayed there for a while. About a year, Sonny got married after my father passed away.
Was there any kind of a rule or custom or anything that said that a man shouldn't sleep with his wife when she's pregnant?
No, not that I know of.
No?
Maybe in your country, I don't remember. Yeah, I didn't know about those things.
It's just that you mentioned something about you were pregnant and your husband wasn't sleeping with you, and that's what I was wondering.
No. I don't even remember those.
Do you remember when you were a child in Russia, how you learned about having babies?
No, not at first, but later on I did. When my kid sister was born, I remember that. I remember the other kids. When my younger brother, Alex, was born, I remember too that time. And see, they were... My mother had L, and we lived the time in the house. And after that, she didn't have no children almost for 4 years. That was a change of life, baby, I guess.
Did you understand what?
No, I didn't think of any of those things that time.
How'd you learn about it?
I learned it here in the United States. Change of life, babies. Your country, you don't study those things. They don't even talk about it. The only thing my father used to say, look, God gave me 10 children, he'll give me for the 11th. And when my sister was born, she was the 12th, he says, thanks God, he supplied her too. They never worried about him. They didn't know about any... Whatever we call it, controls or things like that, I don't know what it's for.
But how did they go about teaching their children about...
No, they never told us those things. Well, I was a young girl, you know. So,
yeah.
When I first started ministry, it was... I didn't even know anything about it, so my mother told me. Yeah.
She told you anything then?
Well, she just told me. I don't remember exactly, but my older sister explained to me a little bit. She was older, so she explained more. So, but I knew about it. I just watched out of it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back in the 1920s now.
Well, that was in Chicago.
Yeah.
Jane Addams.
What do you know of Jane Addams?
Oh, I used to go to her lectures a lot of times with my sister. My sister was very independent, my older sister, very independent. She used to take me to, Jane Addams used to be they built homes in honor of her name. Yeah, I think she passed away once upon a time. So there were homes built of, in honor of her, Jane Addams homes, and a lot of poor people used to go in there and leave. They used to take him in, you know, like
a settlement house.
Yeah, something like that. And her, the homes used to be on Polk Street, somewhere. I don't remember exactly, but maybe.
Did you ever go there?
No, no, but I knew about it. Jane Addams, yes.
She was more of a social reformer.
Yes, well, she was more like a suffragette, what they call in the Russian suffragette, you know, independent person. She tried to make the for women's rights. Oh, yeah, Jane Addams, yes. Well, I used to go to her lectures. I remember the lawyer, Carl, what's his name? You remember the two boys, Loeb and Leopold, that they murdered the young boy in Chicago? But what was his name? Frank? Frank was his name, I think. And but the lawyer's name was... Oh, I can't think of his name. I just mentioned his name. I can't think of it. He was a very famous lawyer. He used to come and do a lecture to the Amalgamated office and everything. Yes. Glendale. See? We used to love. Oh, he used to come and lecture. He used to come to the halls and lecture to the people. He was at that time, he saved the two boys from execution, that Loeb and Leopold, that time. I remember the two just like I would remember today. His name was Clansdale, the lawyer. And I used to go to see his lectures all the time, his lecture, and do things for, he used to come to the Amalgamated to lecture too, yes.
How did you feel about women's rights movements?
It was okay. It didn't bother me. I thought they were entitled to. A woman should be what she can do. And I still believe in it, too.
So you think that there should be equal job opportunities?
Absolutely. I do believe in it, yes.
Did you take part in any of the stuff?
No, not exactly, but I always stood up for the right things.
So did you start voting when women got the vote?
Not in Chicago, no.
You never voted in Chicago?
No, no. Oh, yes, I voted some in labor force with people, but not too much. Because I never liked mixing too much in politics.
You didn't like
politics? I like politics. I like to talk about it. But to some people I'm favorite and to some not. Now look what's going on now in the world. I don't believe in that either. I liked Wilson when he was president. You know, the...
That's okay, just keep talking.
And after Wilson, Harding I didn't like. He was not an honest man, and he was, as far as I remember, he didn't behave himself because he used to run around with a lot of women. He was like, I don't know. They didn't, he wasn't, and then after Harding died, Coolidge was president. He was vice president at first, and then he became president. It was no good, Coolidge. And after Coolidge came in, Hoover. And that was bad. That's the time we had, you know, Hoover used to say, oh, prosperity around the corner, prosperity around the corner, 1929, prosperity around the corner. That's when we lost one of the stores in our Chicago Avenue, we lost the bank. And then the Roosevelt came in, it opened up our eyes. Although we went into the forest before, but that's not the idea. We were always trying to see that the Democrats should get in better. Because when Wilson was president, all right, there was... First, Wilson kept us out of war, but he couldn't help it because the time Russia got in the war, German, then I was here already in the United States. And actually, I came here before the First World War, then this and that. And then after that, the revolution broke out. you know, and all around.
The Russian Revolution?
Yeah, I remember that too, yeah. Lenin, Trotsky.
What are your general feelings about the government?
The Russian government?
Well,
the Russian government I have no use for. I still got a brother and sister there, and they don't, that does not interest me. My sister was visiting us here in 1968. She was here for on a visa for 4 months, and she found out that she has relatives in America, in Chicago, you know. And she was a widow at that time, because during the action, she couldn't come with, she was supposed to come with my folks, but she couldn't come because she was married. And she was either pregnant or she had a baby, I don't know. I wasn't told that. Until later when she came, so she told me the whole history. Because they used to smuggle a lot of things during the Wu-Tang communists. My father was very much hurt, and my mother nursed him to health. And then they found out that we were alive, so they sent us a ticket that came. Somehow they remembered my brother's address here and there, and we got the letter. That's how we got the talk, you know, with them. And they came. And I waited for a year and a half. I would have been married before, but I waited almost a year and a half for them to come, and then they couldn't make it. They come. And after I was married, I was in South Haven, Michigan. So my older sister called me up. She said, Molly, you have to come home because we got a letter that they're going to be on the way coming in. So I did. I went with my husband back. That's why I was spending my honeymoon there. So I said to my, I went and we came back to Chicago. We rented an apartment for Dad on Augusta Street that time. And I stayed with them the time I told you. I stayed with them for about a month to show them how to arrange everything.
But if you have such bad feelings for the government towards Russia, why didn't you vote for the people that you wanted in office in America?
Well, I vote for some that I like, and those that I didn't like, I didn't vote for them.
Oh, you didn't like either candidate, so you didn't vote at all?
No. As far as the Republicans, they can never get my vote. I'm a Democrat for life.
And
when President Kennedy was killed, I cried. Believe me, I cried. And when Robert Kennedy, we watched television when that the guy shot him. What is he, a Greek? No, an Arab. He's still in jail. So our tax money got to keep him in jail. So hands your hand, whatever he needs.
I wanted to know more about how you felt when women first got the vote, though, like in 1920. That you said that you didn't vote all the time.
No.
For president?
I wasn't mixed up too much in politics. Yeah, I don't remember if I would or not, you see. But that time I didn't know much the people, what they were doing or what. Or when. I always learned later on in the years. I was too busy. In the early 20s, I was too busy here and there, you know. I was too busy to have a good time. Yeah.
I think we've about covered the basic.
Okay, honey. Anytime if you want to know something else, let me know.